You may be seated. Our text for today is today's gospel lesson, especially these words. When the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their season. Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, when I transferred after my second year of college, it really messed up my schedule really bad. So by the end, my last quarter, I had a graduate-level Hebrew class, weightlifting, bowling, and badminton. Okay, and there was actually a written final in badminton. I think I got a C, but I mean, so that. And now my advisor saw that, and she said, "Well, it doesn't look like it's really going to be straining you, you know, mentally. So why don't we give you another class?" I go, "I can't think of one." She goes, "Well, I'll think of something." And so when I finally got my schedule and I looked at it, I saw it was Hebrew, and then it was weightlifting, bowling, badminton, and women's studies. Okay. So that obviously she felt I needed that to learn about women, I guess. And it was like me and some poor other guy I kind of knew, and then 30 kind of angry women. Okay, that was our class. And the teacher made sure that we, you know, me and this other guy sat on polar opposite sides. And if I remember the class, I mean, the only representations on the screen of men were like Mr. T and Satan or something. I don't know, but it wasn't very, you know, popular. So at one point in the class, I was just kind of looking over at this other guy just going, damn, what are you going to do, you know? And this girl sitting next to him was waving at me. And I'm like, so I waved back. I'm like, hey, I'm going to get a date in a women's studies class. This is great, right? And then she started making gestures, you know, and I'm like, what? And she pointed at her nose, and I'm like, I don't know what that means, you know. And then she started mouthing something. And I go, I don't know what you're saying. And then the guy sitting next to her just said, Ted, there's something sticking out of your nose. And I'm like, thanks. You know, everybody looked at me, and, you know, it cemented their idea of what a man was, and I, you know. But it was horrible. Now, that's the only thing I learned in that whole class that day, was that women are subtle, and they want to spare your feelings, and men don't care. Okay, that's what I learned. Now, sometimes you can't be subtle with certain people. Obviously, that's me. It's also the Pharisees and the chief priests. Jesus finally says, I'm not going to be subtle with these guys at all, and he tells them a parable that's the equivalent of pointing at these guys and saying, I'm the Son of God. He sent me to save the world. You've rejected me, and in a few days, you're going to kill me. Do you get it? And as you can see at the end of our text, they got it. Simple parable. The owner of the vineyard is God the Father. The vineyard is God's people. The tenants are the leaders, the shepherds of God's people. The servants who come to get the crop in are the prophets, and of course, the son of the owner is Jesus himself. It's time for the harvest. The owner sends messengers to get that harvest. First one's maltreated, the second one's killed, the third one's stoned to death. He sends even more than before, and they're treated all the same. And so the first big why of this parable happens, and that is, why does the father send his son if this is what has been happening? I think there are two reasons. Number one, not just to get the crop, but secondly, he wants these evil tenants to be reconciled to him so what happens in verse 41 doesn't come true. In other words, they're being put to death. So he sends his son, and they kill him, which brings up the second why. Why in the world would they do that and think they would get away with it? Well, because time after time after time, after messengers have come, they've mistreated them and killed them. And the owner has never shown up, never sought vengeance, never sought justice on these guys. It's never happened. And so you can easily see why they considered he wouldn't come again. Well, to dispel that idea, to tell them that the killing of the son is not going to be the end of the story, Jesus quotes Psalm 118. And he says, the builders rejected the stone, but it has become made, and some translations said, the head of the cornerstone. He said, that's the end of the story. Now, in The first parable of the tenants, that's speaking directly to the people 2,000 years ago, right? Leading up to his death, saying this is what's going to happen. But this kind of a parable here of the stone that's rejected has become the cornerstone, that's dealing with life after the resurrection. That's talking to us. Because the stone being rejected is Jesus' death on the cross, but being made the cornerstone is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, easily you can see why this is something that is still rejected today by our society. I mean, Paul learned a very clear example of that in his society, especially when he went to the most Gentile place you could, and that's Athens. He went on the Areopagus, and he started telling them about Christianity. Now, if he had simply told them, look, I've had a really wonderful experience because of this guy called Jesus. He taught me how to love and how to live and how to forgive and how to serve, and I have a nice warm feeling in my heart. And they would have said, that's great. That sounds good. I'm glad it's working for you. Go for it. That's not what Paul says. Paul gets right in their face and he says, no, this Jesus Christ who was crucified has risen from the dead. That's when they rejected everything he said. They mocked him and they said, this is offensive to us. It's still offensive to our society that is very pluralistic because it's not a religion based on feeling. It's a faith that's based on a fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Not surprising our society would reject that and be offended by that. What is surprising is that a lot of people who are leaders in supposedly the Christian church still reject the stone. It shouldn't be a surprise when Jesus is talking about the tenants, he's talking about the leaders and the shepherds of God's people, those people who should have known better, and it's no different today. There are still builders who reject the stone of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'll give you an example from years ago, like 30 years ago. A professor at the University of Leeds in England was lifted up to become bishop of a very important seat. And so he's a bishop in the Anglican Church, and his first interview, he's asked about his beliefs and asked about the resurrection specifically. And he said, well, obviously that's nothing that really happened. There's no such thing as a conjuring of bones. And he said what the resurrection really is several experiences that the disciples had after Jesus died where they came to believe that Jesus lived in their heart. So he clearly said, no, there was no physical resurrection. And this message shot across the Anglican world. A couple days after the thing was, after this interview was given, all the way in Sri Lanka, Muslims heard this, went to their Christian neighbors and said, great, now we can be friends, because we all believe the same thing about Jesus. He didn't rise from the dead physically. No, he was just a great prophet, now we're all together. One pastor in Sri Lanka said the bishop is trying to kill the church. After the controversy kind of died down, one leader in the Anglican church said, I don't know why everybody was so upset and so surprised. When he was a university professor for 20-some years, he preached this exact same thing to people becoming pastors. That's a builder that has rejected the stone. And if you think things have changed any over the last 35, 40 years, talk to anybody who was in our Bible class this last Wednesday and Thursday. We watched a sermon on John 3:16 given by a progressive Christian. Neither of those words is true. Where he never mentioned the cross because nothing really happened there anyway, right? He never mentioned the resurrection of Jesus Christ because that didn't happen. And he said in that, in his sermon, that when Jesus is referring to the Son of God, the Son of Man, a Savior, Messiah, Christ, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about God's magical DNA that he's placed in every human being and every living thing in the universe, and so we can all call ourselves God. That's what he took from John 3:16. That's a builder rejecting the stone. And that's why we give thanks that we have been given the faith to confess what Jesus said of Psalm 118 here. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And it is, because we have hope for our todays and for our tomorrows. Hope that our Savior is living. And he's a living Savior who understands our sorrow. He understands our suffering. He certainly knows our sin. And he comforts us in our sorrow, and he cares for us in our suffering, and he forgives that sin. But it's more than just a hope for this life. It's a hope for our future. And let me tell you, that future is not some ephemeral thing that's all spiritual, right? In clouds and harps, and every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings, okay? That's not our hope. Not my hope. I mean, heaven always looks like just a big bowl of cream of wheat. Everything's white. Who wants that for eternity, right? That's not what we have to look forward to. We have a future where we will eat and drink with real mouths in the presence of Christ and will stand before him on our own feet. There will be no more sickness, no more disease, no more pain, no more suffering, no more death, no more sorrow, no more fear. Because the mark of Jesus Christ will be on us and we'll stand in his very presence and we'll see him with our very eyes and we'll touch him with our hands. And we'll thank him with our mouths. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus rose from the dead. Could be another 10,000 years until he returns. I don't know, could be tomorrow. That'd be great. But until then, the one thing that is true is that even though the builders have rejected and continue to reject the stone, Jesus Christ is risen, and it is the cornerstone of our salvation and our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.